As you guys know, Pastor Hans over the past few weeks has been talking about identity. Identity is so important because once we realize our identity, then we can even find out our purpose and everything else. Things come into alignment. If we don't know our identity, you get easily confused. That's why we see so many people that get lost into temptation, lost in alternative lifestyles because they don't know who they truly are. So it's really important that we know our identity, and our identity as Christians is found in Christ. It's not about us anymore, but it's about Jesus. So as Pastor Hans has been talking about identity, he shared with me kind of the next chapter that we're going to go in. And today we're going to be talking about that our identity is being a warrior. So we titled today's message, Calling God's Warriors. Yay, warriors, yay! You seem so excited. But, you know, before I dive into this anymore, I just want to say, you know, there's a bunch of beautiful-looking people this morning and here today. Why don't you look at the person next to you and say, you are the second best-looking person I've seen all morning. And then turn to the other person on the other side and go, ah! No, don't do that. It's bad. Especially if it's your wife, don't do the ah. Okay? Now, if it's the wife doing the husband, you can get away with it. I mean, let's be real. You can get away with it. But so we're going to go ahead, and the Lord's kind of given me a download of what I feel like that what calls us as warriors. Some of these things we can identify as being warriors for God that are a necessity for us to have in battle. First point that I have for you guys is warfare. We're at a spiritual war every single day. It says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are fighting a supernatural war day in and day out. Now, I know we've all had people that have ticked us off, that have upset us, hurt our family, but let's be real, even though that's a problem, that's not the real problem. The real problem is the thing that's attacked them, because what it is that they've allowed the enemy to influence their lives so much that it's affecting you now. So now you're under attack because they've been under attack. So they're not the real enemy. The real enemy is the devil. The real enemy is the demons. The real enemy is the supernatural evil that is taking place. It's not the person that cuts you off in traffic. It's not your husband or wife that you want to push down the stairs on a regular basis, okay? Now, I don't encourage that. I really don't encourage that. But they're not the enemy. And we have to recognize who we're fighting, because if we don't know who we're supposed to fight, then innocent people are going to become casualties. So when you go off to war, they tell you who the enemy is. So we know the enemy is the devil and the demons that we're facing. It's supernatural. So we need to recognize that if a person's ticking us off or upsetting us or hurting our family, they need Jesus, they need a relationship, and you can be the light to do that. It's not your job to sit there and call them the enemy. They're not the enemy. They're just influenced by the enemy. The next point I have for you all is the anointing. We have to have the anointing. 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. We need the anointing. And the part that I love here is the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. When you are anointed, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and it allows you to operate higher than your gifting can take you. And it's very important to have that. Psalm 45:7 says, you have loved righteousness and you've hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. When we thirst for righteousness, we gain the anointing. You have to thirst for righteousness. Now, when I say the anointing, I ain't talking about you going home and deep frying your chicken, okay? I know that's oil, but that ain't the oil I'm talking about, okay? You need the oil of God. Okay, and I'm all about some fried chicken. Okay, I'm Southern. But we need to have the anointing day in and day out. You can't sacrifice that. You need to have that. The next point I have for you all is righteousness. Hey, look, that was in the last verse I just had too, right? 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Now, originally, this verse was talking about fleeing of sexual immorality and things like that and temptation. But the point that I want to focus on here is pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Are the things that we want in life, the type of life we want to live, has to come in alignment with God. If we are not in alignment with God, then we're not living in righteousness. And you guys know what righteousness is. I'm old school. I believe in living a holy life. I believe in not subjecting myself and opening doors in my household that's going to conflict what the Word says. And I believe not living a lifestyle that conflicts what the Word says. Everything we do needs to come in alignment with the Word and God's Scripture. If God doesn't say it's okay, don't do it. Plain and simple. If you question it, live without it, because you don't need to run the risk of it being something God doesn't approve. Let's be real. Now, this one, I like this one. The next one is be ready. We have to be ready. Ephesians 6:13-17. Well, actually, I did 18, but I think 17 on there. But therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Every day we are in a spiritual battle. There is a war taking place. How do you expect to win the war if you ain't got your armor on? How do you expect you to be victorious in any area of your life if you do not have your armor on? When a soldier goes into war, he goes prepared with everything he needs to be successful. You ain't going to go to Afghanistan with a BB gun, okay? Unless you Chuck Norris, you might be able to take out a few thousand, but you ain't Chuck Norris, okay? You ain't going to take out a few thousand with a BB gun. You need to be prepared for the task that God has given you. And he tells us that every day we're in a spiritual warfare. So that means we need to put this armor on, because we are warriors of God. Plain and simple. The next point I have for you guys is integrity. James 1:6-8 says, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in his ways. The part that draws me to this is he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. We have to be people of consistency. Consistency is integrity. And if our hearts and our minds line up with the Word of God, then if we proclaim Jesus, we need to be consistent that how we live, how we act lines up with the Word of God, and we need to stick to that and stick to our standards. If we act one way with somebody and act a different way with someone else, you're flakier than corn chips, okay? You have no integrity. And when you have no integrity, you have no power, because no one believes anything you say. No one trusts in you. And that even more so, your witness is dead, because they can't trust you. They can't believe you. Obviously, it didn't change your life, so why is it going to change theirs? Now, this one, I might get some evil glares at, but we'll get there. All right, number 6 is obedience. Many of you guys know this verse. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of lambs. Now, I know I said fat of rams, and you all got hungry right there, but let's focus on the task at hand here, is that obedience is better than sacrifice. How can you expect to serve God if you're living in disobedience? How do you expect God to bless you if you're living in disobedience? The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, not because they wanted a vacay, but they wandered for 40 years because they lived a life of disobedience. Why did Satan fall? He allowed pride to come in, and then he rebelled in disobedience to what God called. So if we're living in disobedience, who are we acting more like, God or the devil? And, you know, I'm going to step on someone's toes real quick here because, you know, I got to make someone feel uncomfortable. I got to have an evil glare or two out there every once in a while. But, you know, one topic you can apply obedience to is tithes. If you are not faithful in tithing and faithful in giving, you are living a life of disobedience. So why do you expect God to bless you, give you a financial blessing, take care of your needs if you're living in sin because you're disobedient? We need to be obedient to God's word. Obedience. My final point for you guys. I'm quick. I'm trying to get you to Popeye's chicken, okay? I know it's good. The final point I have for you guys is to recognize the king. You have to recognize who the king is, who's in charge, and who you're serving. John 10, 27 through 28 says, "My sheep listen to my voice." Some of us, that's hard to do, is listen. "I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." My sheep listen to my voice. If you serve Jesus, if you proclaim as Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to listen to the instruction of the king, because if you don't listen to the instruction of the king, then he's not really your king, is he? We have to follow the instruction of the king, and the king tells us to live holy lives. It says in his word that I am holy, so be holy as I am, essentially. God calls us to be holy, to be righteous, to be anointed, to be ready for war day in and day out, because we're fighting a supernatural battle. And you can't serve two masters. It says in God's word that you either hate one and love the other. You can only serve one master, so you either serve God or you serve the enemy. Or let's make this a little more like intense. You either love God or you love yourself. Sometimes we put ourselves in our flesh, but if we love the flesh, then we don't love the things of God, but we love the things of the enemy and love the things of this world, which separates us once again. So we need to make sure that we put, you go ahead to the next slide, because I like this. Oh, look, I spelled a word. Yay! Warrior. We are warriors for Christ. And every day we need to recognize who we're fighting. Every day we need to have the anointing. Every day we need to be living a life of righteousness. And we need to be ready with the armor. And we need to make sure that we're people of integrity. And that we need to make sure we're obedient to who? The voice of the king. We have to be obedient to God. And I'll be real with you. If you're missing any of those, then you have a weak spot in your armor. You have a weak spot in your witness. You have a weak spot in your testimony and your ability to change lives. I'm going to close with this. I brought a toy. That's what I do. I promise I'm not running away to Starbucks, though I've thought about it a few times. Now, I've used this illustration before in the youth, but I just felt like it was appropriate. Now, this is a sword. A sword. I'm trying to get Brooklyn. Didn't work. This is actually an Iaido sword, which is basically a training sword that Japanese people use. Now, it's actually blunt. My leg's not going to chop off, you know. Not going to do the Holy Grail Monty Python thing. But if you know anything about swords, what happens is they gather up metal. And when they gather up this metal, there's a lot of impurities in it. So what they do is they heat this metal up, and they begin pounding it with a hammer over and over again. And as they heat it up and pound it, they also fold the metal to remove the impurities in the steel. Once they remove the impurities of the steel, they begin shaping this piece of metal into the desired shape that they want. After they get that shape set the way they want, a lot of times they will quench it in water. Some will quench it in oil, but usually Japanese swordsmiths used water. And they would quench that blade in the water, and what happened is that sealed up the work that they had already done in that metal and actually makes it even harder in some places. And then after they get that sword quenched in that water and they pull it out and it's retained its hardness, they begin sharpening the edge of that blade to be ready for war after they fitted it with fittings. And then when they're all done, they maintain it with oil. We're a lot like that sword. We as God's people, what God does is he comes in our lives, we've accepted him, and he strips away the impurities. He tries to make us righteous and living a holy life. He shapes us and molds us into the men and women and warriors of God that He is calling us to be. And He fits us with everything we need to be battle ready day in and day out. Because the battle doesn't stop when you go home. Let's be real. Sometimes the battle is even worse when you're home, depending on what you're struggling with. But just like this sword, if any of the processes are missing in making this sword becomes weak and brittle and it'll break. And just like us, if we're missing those things in our lives, we have an open area and in a weak spot where we're brittle. The neat thing, too, about how the Japanese make their swords, they use different hardness of steel. And they do that because they want the edge to be super hard and they don't want it to chip or to break. They want it to last. And what they do with the back metal is a lot of times they make it softer. And they make it softer so that way when you hit something hard, it has flex, it gives, but it doesn't break. God doesn't want you to break, and He's given you everything you need when you have those things that no matter what the world throws at you, you will bend and you won't break. But you will maintain your anointing, you will maintain the power of God on your life, and souls will be transformed because you are being obedient to everything He is calling you to. If I can go ahead and get the worship team up here, we're going to go ahead and close out. There's Big Daddy G, Big Daddy Gordon. I got to pause there so he can feel awkward. It's what I do best. But if I can go ahead and get everyone to go ahead and stand right now, we're going to close out. I'm putting the sword back because somehow I'll stab myself with a blunt sword. I'm just that guy. God wants you to be victorious, and God wants you to fulfill your call, and He wants to remove anything that is holding you back from achieving that. He wants you to be prepared for the spiritual war day in and day out. He wants what's best for you. But you guys have to remember, you are warriors. You're not made to sit on the sidelines. You're not made to be dormant. A neutral car doesn't roll uphill, it actually rolls downhill. Surprise. So if you're plateauing in neutral and you're not growing in the Lord, then you've got some other issues. You need to pursue His presence. But you are warriors. So I'm challenging you guys today to be the warriors that God calls you to be. And it doesn't matter what job you have. You're not, just as Pastor Hans talked about identity, you're not identified by your job or your hobby, but you're identified by Christ and the relationship you have with Him. Wherever you're at, God can use you in Walmart. He can use you at work. He can use you at Taco Bell eating a chalupa. Okay? He can use you anywhere. I want to go ahead and get every eye closed, every head bowed. Nobody looking around. I know you like my pink shoes. It's okay. Don't judge. And I want to offer this because I never want a service to go by without asking this. Is there anybody in the house tonight that says, you know what? I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but I want to know Him as my personal Lord and Savior, and I want to have free power over my life. If that's you today, if you would go ahead and raise your hand, we just want to pray with you. I ain't going to make you sacrifice no chickens or weird stuff or handle snakes, okay? We all good. Amen. Now, I'm going to do another thing because every time I speak, I get nervous. I've been speaking since I was 15 years old, and I'm like 30-something now because I always want to say what God is telling me to say, and it's a huge weight to bring the word of God. But I'm going to make you guys feel uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable. Yay. But I want to give a challenge that if you want to stand firm for God today and say, you know what, I'm a warrior for God. I'm a warrior for Christ, and that you're going to go out and you're going to make sure your armor's on. You're going to make sure that you're anointed. You're going to make sure you're living a righteous life, and you're going to be obedient to the King's instructions. If you want to stand firm to say, I am a warrior of God, I want to encourage you to come up to the altar right now. Just like baptism is the outward expression of an inward change, this is the outward expression of saying that I'm standing firm for Christ. I am a warrior for Christ. That I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to be dormant. I'm not going to wither. But I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus everywhere I go. And my life is not mine anymore. It's His. When you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it ain't about you no more. Sorry. It ain't about my pink shoes anymore, okay? It's about Jesus. It's about living for God. And everything we do is about bringing Him glory, not your glory. That day's over. You have been bought at a price. And that price is recognizing that you serve the King. Whether you like it or not, you serve the King. It's about Him. It's about Jesus.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the Word was a great blessing to you, and I know the Word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we know that comes through listening to the Word and putting the Word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me. It caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.